broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August the 1st in the year of our Lord, 2020. This, my fellow Americans, is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips now. You know we're live 6 days a week. Spread the word. Tell your neighbor. LovingLiberty.net. LibertyRoundtable.com. There's a whole lot going on in the country today, and we intend to break it all down for you. Most talk shows are live 5 days a week. We're live 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, 12 hours of hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips. I say hard-hitting because you know what? We talk about news the networks refuse to use. You know, they won't touch the topics we discuss on a daily basis. Even if they do discuss a topic that we talk about, they certainly will not have the reality check that we have. What do I mean? They always talk about the problems, and they oftentimes get the problems right, but they never really push to the solutions. And that's kind of one of the biggest differences of Liberty Roundtable than others. The other difference is most of them don't talk about God very much. Our solutions are God, family, country oriented. Our solutions are about life, liberty, and property and the protection thereof. Our goals are to push for the real pursuit of happiness. And the only way to do that is to follow God's commandments. We talk about the greatest solution in America. We must be a moral people. And if we're not, you know what? This government is wholly inadequate for the governing of such. Okay, if we are moral, self-governed people, if we use the Ten Commandments of God rather than the Ten Gazillion Commandments of government, that's the only way forward with real success. We acknowledge this very candidly and openly and clearly and refer to it often. How many talk shows do that consistently like we do? Not very many, if any at all. Okay, and we do our best to show how you can get involved. You know what? We the people have a big role to play. And for the most part, not counting voting every so often, they want you to believe you don't have much of a stake, much of a say. You're disenfranchised, if you will. We don't believe that for a second. The final check and balance in America is we the people saying, you know what? All your power is derived from the consent of the governed. That's we the people. That is the Declaration of Independence, which ultimately highlights before God, our maker, and a candid world of, you know what? We have the authority. We, the people, have the authority, and all government powers are derived from the consent of the governed. We've given certain powers to the federal government, certain powers to the states, certain powers to the cities, to the counties, etc. And we have given them power, but we've also separated that power with checks and balances vertically and horizontally. Those are the keys to understanding about the republic. We don't have a democracy. I know even Donald Trump thinks we have a democracy, but no offense, he's willfully ignorant. Okay, pledge allegiance to the flag, folks. You'll get it quick. We have a constitutional republic. We don't even have a democratic republic, folks. Okay, we don't. Do we have some democratic principles in our constitutional republic? Yes, we do. We pulled from a variety of governments in the past. The founding fathers were very, very wise, very careful, very shrewd, and I submit to you, inspired. And they put together the most unique government ever known in the history of the world. Biblically based. Slices and pieces from all different forms of government, replete with the checks and balances, vertically and horizontally, that make America the greatest country on the face of the earth. Our founding fathers called it a grand experiment. They didn't know if it'd work. They prayed, they hoped. They tried to balance this line, this fine line between what's too much and what's not enough. How do you maximize liberty? How do you make sure it doesn't swing into anarchy and or tyranny? Or how do you... And they worked on it, they prayed, they bled, they sweated, they gave everything they had, their fortunes, their sacred honor, everything on this altar of liberty. Were they perfect? Far from. But were they God-fearing? Absolutely. Were they some of the best people on the face of the earth at the time? Without a doubt. And I personally believe we, the people, need to understand our godly and our American heritage. And if we do, and then if we take action to insist on it, we need to double down and insist on religious liberty in America, folks. We need to defend it. We need to protect it. We need to stand up for it. We don't need to be silent. We don't need to be belligerent or contrarian or divisive. But we do need to clearly state, you know what? Without religious liberty, all the other liberties are gone like dominoes. They're gone. And it's up to us, we the people, to protect them, to preserve them, to defend them, to articulate them, to live them, to believe them, to honor them, right? That's our duty. That's our responsibility. That's our privilege, whatever word you want to use to describe that. But it's a relationship with God that's at the center of all this. Each of us individually, a relationship with God Almighty, the author of our liberty. Okay? He promises us biblically, clear promises. If we keep the commandments of God, he will protect us and heal our land. And if we don't keep his commandments, you know what? It's curtains for our liberty, curtains for religious freedom, curtains for safety and stability and prosperity, right? I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just calling it like it is. The most positive message I can think of is to clearly articulate and understand these points. Because when you do, the power becomes yours again. Okay, we can reject their dishonest, false, immoral, manipulated, divisive narrative. And we can take back the narrative and say, you know what? America is the greatest country on the face of the earth. Have we made mistakes in the past? Absolutely. Should we acknowledge them and do our very best to never repeat them? Without a doubt. Should we then double down and talk about the worst points of America as if that's the whole? No, not even close. Not even maybe. We should acknowledge the mistakes for what they are. Serious blunders, blips that cannot be overlooked, whether it's the Native Americans that we're talking about, whether it's blacks that we're talking about, whether it's members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, back in the day nicknamed the Mormons, the Mormon problem, whether it's any of those groups, those are sad, sad tales for the mistakes Americans have made in the past. Are we proud of those mistakes? Of course not. Are we going to acknowledge those mistakes? Absolutely. Are we going to do everything that we can to truly go forward in a humble but confident way? Humble because we realize that we made mistakes and our weaknesses should make us humble, but confident because with God, all things are possible. With God, we can change that narrative and never repeat those negativities that have existed in history. They've existed and happened to all societies and all people, though. Let's not suggest we're the first or we'll be the last. But let's do acknowledge those mistakes. But let's not fall on our sword. Let's not suggest that division can never be resolved. Let's do stand up and say, but we can reunite. We can unite and conquer those differences, whether they be religious, whether they be racial. No matter the separation, we can come together under God. The Almighty God says, you know what? If you're not one, you're not mine, right? You're not mine, saith the Lord. We need to become one people, highly interested in the protection of life, liberty, and property, and the pursuit of happiness. Highly interested in promoting God, family, and country. Not diving into divisions on the keys to theology, but standing together with faith and hope and prosperity in our sights and in our minds and in our hopes and our aspirations and our desires. Stability and safety for all. A healthy dose of governing values under God's laws, primarily the first two great commandments, love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. And then those two commandments hangeth the law, which is the 10 great commandments. You know, those 12 guidelines can make a people safe and secure and free and happy and prosperous. And what a blessing that could be. But it's all up to you and I. Not you and I only. That's only two of us. But you and I, meaning we and everybody, and, you know, first it's one, then it's two, then it becomes the few. And you know what? By our greater numbers shall we accomplish the task at hand, right? I can't solve it all, but I can't get on my knees and turn to God, then get up and do my very best. And that's all that's required of me. That's all that's required of each of us. Is that it is a hope-filled opportunity. Right? It is a blessing from on high. All right. Anyway, I digress, but I did want to pep talk the belief in America because a lot of people are pretty negative on it. They're pretty down on what they're not up on, if you will. They think, man, America, you know, the fat lady's already sung. Stick a fork in it, it's over. Or, you know, we're already disenfranchised. There's nothing we can do about it. You know, and I don't believe those things. I believe we can make a difference every day of our lives. And I believe the difference is much greater than we might think. Don't fall for the mainstream press lie that all is negative and all is lost and politics is everything. And this narrative that seems to just breed despair and discouragement and frustration and anger and hatred and fear. Don't fall for that stuff, folks. No doubt that's out there in a big way. But no doubt there's more good things going on in the world than bad by far. God loves us. He's in his heavens. He has not forgot about us. Okay? He didn't, you know, just spawn up the world like a fidget spinner and set it on a table to walk away and let it just spin down into nothing. Okay? He's in his heavens. He loves us. He's aware of our needs. And when we lack wisdom, we can ask of God and He'll give to us guidance and love liberally. And he'll abrade us not, is what the Bible says, which means he won't chastise us or criticize us or be angry with us. He will provide the wisdom promised. If ye lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I say that we all do that. Get on your knees, ask of God, and then find out how you can get involved and help and become part of the solution, will you? This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live radio program on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use talk station.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheep herder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, I wanted to break down yesterday's News the Networks Refuse to Use broadcast because, man, we covered so much news yesterday. It was shocking. It was Sam and Kurt for 2 hours. Kurt's my co-host, if you don't realize, if you only listen on Saturdays. Monday through Friday, Kurt's with me on Saturdays. He sells raw honey, and so the farmers markets are usually Saturdays or Saturday mornings and such. And so, you know, he takes Saturdays off and takes care of his family and does those things, which is wonderful. And I usually fill in with, say, a Richard Mack or, you know, some other guest that's with me often. Today I'm by myself, but I will cover a lot of the news that Sam and Kirk covered yesterday because there's so much of it. There's so many news stories that are critical. Even AMAC, the Association for Mature American Citizens, that's the best alternative conservative group to AARP. Anyway, it's amac.us. Become a lifetime member today. I am, and highly recommend you become one as well. Anyway, amac.us has a poll out that says, hey, which story this week do you believe to be the most important? And they got a list of stories up there and everything else. But I want to just tell you, there's so much news. And Congress, of course, was on Capitol Hill. And so were the big tech tycoons, you know, Facebook and Google and Apple and these guys, right? And this Florida representative, Representative Matt Gaetz, he corners the Google boss with his own employees' words. Google is using, quote, market dominance in their search capabilities to engage in election interference. That came out on the stage. And it's true. Matt's absolutely right. In corner of the Google executive, The Creepy Line is a movie, a documentary that highlights this reality of how Google is involved in election manipulations. And it's so much so that even David Kapilian of WND.com just wrote an article talking about this, saying, hey, Google is going to do their darndest to really rig the election this November. And believe it or not, Google does have the technology and capability to move the needle on votes big time. And they didn't use their full capabilities last time. They only used a little bit of their capabilities because they didn't want to really get caught with their hand in the cookie jar, right? But they used a little bit of their capabilities last time. They just didn't use enough to get Hillary elected. And they were so chagrined, so disappointed that Hillary wasn't elected. This time they swear they're not going to leave anything to chance, if you will. They're going to ensure that Donald Trump loses. Now, do you believe that narrative? Believe it or not, the Daily Caller, well-known news service, says, and it came out on the stand, they have experienced Google suppression. That's the editor-in-chief of the Daily Caller. Jim Jordan, congressman, cites censorship of Breitbart News as one reason big tech is out to get conservatives. Believe it or not, Madonna, of all people, got censored on Instagram because she posted a video about the frontline doctors. See, the frontline doctors are a group of doctors that don't believe the coronavirus is as we're told. They believe there are cures and solutions and answers and ways to heal and protect people from death. And so they went and had a Capitol Hill press briefing that was literally getting millions of hits and flat out got shut down. Then Madonna spoke out about it and said, wait a minute, the frontline doctors have something to say. And they literally shut her down too. Then Twitter suspends PragerU and prominent conservatives. Why? For commenting on HCQ. That's the hydroxychloroquine discussion. They just shut them down. Donald Trump even doubles down and says Congress all talk and no action on big tech. So big tech, they want you to believe is in the crosshairs. Tucker Carlson said to Representative Jim Jordan, remember, this is the guy that's supposed to be really hard digging in, right? He says this about Google to Jim Jordan. This is Tucker Carlson. Why do you think Google will give you money and why would you take it? So even the biggest supposed critics of Google are taking Google money, right? Anyway, we talked about that in great detail in hour one of the broadcast yesterday. All right, and really the bottom line on Capitol Hill is there's a big old, in my opinion, political theater battle about how bad big tech is and big tech's got to be stopped by your government and all this kind of stuff. But it's a big old lie, folks. It isn't even true. Look, government and academia, meaning the university world, government meaning the Pentagon and the CIA and other deep state operatives, along with academia, the university world, all funded by your government, and big tech tycoons, they all three have created Google and Facebook and all these different companies. Okay, let's not pretend that somehow Google just got big on its own or that Facebook just became massive on its own because of the brilliance of Sergey Brin, Google guy, or Larry, whatever his name was, or, you know, Mark, whatever that guy's name is with Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg. Let's not pretend one of those guys is just so brilliant they just came off the stage, Bill Gates, they didn't graduate from college or they didn't do this or that, but they just become this rock star. you know, guy that knows everything about big tech, and they single-handedly, you know, led their companies through all the landmines of life and society and became much too big to fail. Let's not pretend that's the truth, because it's not. The truth is that the university world, along with the Pentagon and the CIA and deep black op government money, handpicked these individuals and made them rock stars and built their companies and manipulated the internet and these companies behind the scenes, giving them virtually unlimited money and virtually all the right breaks backed by government to get this done. Right? You go ask yourself, who funded Google? Who funded Facebook? Who funded these corporations? And you will quickly begin to understand a little bit of the story. And the idea that, oh man, government has got to stop big tech and trust government to be the regulator and the arbitrator of solutions is absolutely ignorant of historical reality. Okay? They want you to believe in the Hegelian dialectic, to where you believe bad tech's got to be stopped by good government and by golly, got to rein them in. And every time the Hegelian dialectic is at work, what is that? It's good cop, bad cop idea. That's the simplest way to explain it. And you know what? Right now, tech is the bad cop. They were the good cop back when, well, the government was so censored and controlled and nobody could get a word out. And then Facebook and the new media came on center stage and everybody's like, yeah, this is incredible. Big tech, they're helping us fight back. That was when they were the good cop for the growth period. Now that they're so big, now they're the bad cop. Government's the only good cop, don't you know? But every time this happens, you lose more liberty. Government takes greater control. So let me give you an example to highlight and finish the point here. What they want you to do is they want you to say, well, hey, is net neutrality good or bad? And net neutrality is very deceptive. Because what they would say is everybody wants the internet to be neutral. They don't want the internet to pick sides. They should give as much access to me, Sam Bushman, as they do Bill Clinton, right? Or Barack Hussein Obama, or whatever. And so net neutrality would ensure that, ladies and gentlemen. Well, who would ensure that? The answer is your government. Those are the folks that ensure that Bill Clinton runs around free, but yet Steve Stockman goes to prison. And by the way, if you haven't heard, now Steve Stockman has the corona in prison. Our prayers are with Steve. But they want to kill him in prison. But you know what? You got Bill Clinton running around, Lois Lerner running around, free. Yeah, you've even got campaign fixer, or campaign, whatever you want to say, prankster, Roger Stone free. You know, you got Dinesh D'Souza free. But you can't get Steve Stockman free for your life, right? I don't know what's going on here. What a sad tale that is. I digress, except to say our prayers are with dear Steve Stockman and his wife, Patty. I pray he survives. But he does have the coronavirus now. He could have avoided it if they would have released him from prison like they did so many others. He was the only one over 60 with so many pre-existing conditions. And they just simply would not budge. Somebody high up wants to see Steve dead. And I pray they do not get their wish. Nevertheless, these are the people that are going to be the decision makers on net neutrality. They say we're going to make the internet neutral. But what they're really going to do is the government's going to be the decider of who wins and who loses, right? Well, then we fought hard against net neutrality and we taught the people that it wasn't as they wanted you to believe. Net neutrality is a very nice sounding name. By all means, everybody should be for that by the name. Well, it isn't what you're being told. And well, we educated enough people to where we shut down net neutrality, right? That's great news. It's phenomenal news. Except for then they said, okay, well, with no net neutrality, now you've got big tech taking advantage of you, see? If the government was in charge, this wouldn't be the case. So now the very people that were fighting net neutrality and got rid of it are now going, oh my gosh, we got to have the government do something to stop big tech. Forgetting all the while that historical reality shows that government, the academia world, the university world, and the Pentagon, CIA, deep state government money world, they're the ones that built big tech in the first place. You see how diabolically deceptive this really is? Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
The Southeast is getting ready for Hurricane Isaias. USA's Tim Berg has the latest on Florida's preparation.
Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis says his state is getting ready for Hurricane Isaias, the governor declaring a state of emergency in all of the counties along the eastern coast. The governor telling residents,
"While we can't be certain of the exact track of the storm, and we certainly can't be sure about the intensity it will ultimately reach, we do expect to see impacts to the state of Florida, even if the storm remains off our shore."
The governor also reminding residents,
"So please keep up with official updates and make sure you have a plan and have 7 days worth of food, water, and medicine."
The National Hurricane Center said Isaias is forecast to move towards Florida Saturday afternoon through Sunday. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you in need of a health care program? You're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with membership starting as early as the following month. There are no contracts, no commitments. There is no network, so you choose your own doctors and hospitals. Starting as low as $199 per month, Liberty HealthShare has programs for singles, couples, and families of any size. I joined. I'm a member. My four children are members. Liberty has saved me $72,000 compared to what I was paying for health insurance over these 4 years. Liberty HealthShare is a non-profit ministry. It is not insurance. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who come together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY, 855-58-LIBERTY, or go to libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot. libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot.
There was a heated exchange with Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan and Dr. Anthony Fauci when the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases testified about the impact of COVID-19. John Clemens reports.
Dr. Fauci was testifying before the House Select Subcommittee on the coronavirus when Congressman Jim Jordan made a request for clarification on the dangers of the nationwide protests as compared to attending church.
Government stopping people from going to church, Dr. Fauci.
Yeah.
Last week in the Calvary Chapel case, five liberals on the Supreme Court said it was okay for Nevada to limit church services. Justice Gorsuch said it best. He said there's no world in which the Constitution permits Nevada to favor Caesar's Palace over Calvary Chapel. I'm just asking, is there a world where the Constitution says you can favor one First Amendment liberty protesting over another practicing your faith?
For the USA Radio Network, I'm John Clemens.
President Trump praised both Jordan and Fauci on Twitter afterwards. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live. I'm talking about big tech and the fiasco on Capitol Hill. I'm calling it a reality TV moment. They want you to believe in their fake reality TV. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. Google's true origins partly lie in CIA and NSA research grants. All right? Two graduate students, Larry Page and Sergey Brin? They were the ones that really supposedly created the breakthrough that Google was built upon. But it's not exactly true. The government really is the founder. Okay? It's interesting to study and to understand. Anyway, I bring it all up because I want you to understand. I don't believe what we're being told about, government, Congress, they're drilling into the founders of these companies to hold them accountable there. Okay, it's all contrived. Now, let me explain. Do I think it's contrived in terms of, do I think that the congressmen and senators or people, you know, President Trump or whatever, who's trying to get to the bottom of this, do they really realize? No, I don't think they do. I think they really mean to do well. But they just don't have enough understanding of the history of these companies. If you go watch The Creepy Line, you'll begin to understand how evil Google really is. Type it in, The Creepy Line. It's a documentary on YouTube about Google and about how they use their, quote, capabilities and technologies. It's documented by some Democrats and professors and everybody who has every stake not to reveal this, but they do nevertheless. Because at some point, even Democrats, most of them, not counting the inner swamp, who have capitulated to filthy lucre. But most of even the Democrat people that you and I may disagree with on a political, you know, first surface look, they even care for their country. And they're like, whoa, wait a minute. This isn't what we thought. That, wow. You know, and it reminds me of oftentimes how people think something and they believe it. And then later they wake up and realize it's not as they were told. It's different, right? Anyway, so it's a big fiasco on Capitol Hill. I don't believe it's getting to the bottom of anything. What they're going to eventually do is they're going to say net neutrality needs to come back, because by golly, when the conservatives said no net neutrality, look at how abusive big tech has become. We got to rein in big tech now and push for net neutrality again. Now, they won't call it the same thing. They won't call it net neutrality because net neutrality has already got such a bad name now, and we reject it at once. So what they'll do is they'll come back with another way. It'll be called the Rein in Big Tech from Abusing the People Act, or Fairness and Access to the Media Act, or some weird, but what it will do eventually is, well, it'll be like the Patriot Act. I mean, of course you're for the Patriot Act, aren't you, Sam? Aren't you a patriot, buddy? But you find out the Patriot Act is one of the most tyrannical acts ever. Well, the same thing's true with this net neutrality. They'll bring it back. What they want is government in charge of who the winners and losers are. And right now, they have control. They just have it through their, quote, black op university, military, what, big tech, tycoon partnerships. They don't have blatant control government-wise. So it's a little bit of fascism going on. You got a university-created company backed by a military-based company backed by a few tycoons that get rich guys. Now those guys are on the stand to tell you what's really going on, but they're leaving out the core story. They're battling on the surface about things that sound like they matter. But I'll give you an example. If you beat up Mark Zuckerberg and said, you know, your Facebook, your quote software is being used to promote terrorism and vote fraud and all these other things. And he says, well, by golly, I'll dig into it there. I'll look at it and get stop that. That's horrible. We can't have that. Well, they're right. That is a problem. But if they don't tell you that, you know what, big academia, the collegiate world, in bed with the Pentagon and the CIA, built it with you, Mark, and funded you, Mark, and oh, and now what? Is that discussion as relevant as you thought about, oh, it's being used to commit vote fraud? Maybe it has become the greatest deep state tool of the military in bed with the education world. And maybe Mark is just a pawn up there. Maybe Sergey Brin or whatever that guy's name is, and Larry Page, the founders of Google, maybe they're just pawns up there. And or maybe they're completely evil and they're completely in the know. I don't know. My guess would be that they know enough of the picture to not be innocent for sure, but they don't know enough of the picture to be flat out completely evil. Okay, and the problem with this discussion is you don't know where someone's heart really is. Take Bill Gates, for instance. The poor guy didn't even graduate from college, did he? They say he's super brilliant, and to some degree he is. But if you go study the history of Microsoft, you'll begin to understand Microsoft became the behemoth that it is, not because it had the best software or the best operating system or the best Office suite or any of those things. What they did was they created a formula that allowed them to have enough money to literally meet with a smaller company, partner with them on technology, eventually jettison the smaller company, steal their technology, walk away into the sunset and make money for years and years and years. Then the little company gets mad and sues, gets back a fraction of the money in, quote, reparations from the big Microsoft company. And then the small companies and the alternative technologies completely melt away and go away. Digital Research did this with their DOS product. I know this sounds like yesteryear discussions, but okay, they had Stacker. Those are two examples of my point. And Microsoft railroaded both of them, took advantage of the tech, controlled all the assets, paid a pittance on the back end, and became this massive behemoth. Okay, where all the funding came from Bill Gates to do that is, again, a good question to follow the money. But now Bill Gates is, quote, retired from tech, hasn't he? Right? Now he spends his time on the national stage as a rock star behind the scenes, pushing for vaccinations and population control. Bill Gates is on record saying, hey, if we can vaccinate enough people, we can reduce the world's population. Okay, so he's flat out a eugenicist now, injecting man-made serum into God's temples, our physical bodies, right? And this guy's on a heck bender quest with the filthy lucre that he got from big tech. See? Well, you say, how does that relate, Sam? What are you talking about? Now you're off talking about big tech and now you're off on the medical field? Oh, yeah. Because the effectiveness of mask wearing is unproven, according to a Dutch lawmaker who advises against wearing masks. But again, these big tech companies are saying, if you say we shouldn't wear masks, we're going to just kick you off. There's no end in sight to the coronavirus pandemic, says Dr. Fauci. Right? That's what he claims. Do you believe that? But he's allowed to spew that from the top tiers of our government. Nolte, well-known author for Breitbart, says Anthony Fauci is now floating, quote, eye protection and masks for every flu season forever going forward. And if anybody puts out anything to the contrary, they're shut down. Donald complains about the media but does nothing. Congress talks and argues with big tech executives but eventually does nothing. The United States and the world are not likely to return to pre-coronavirus normals until a vaccine is available for mass production. And they say that could be as far out as 2022. That's according to the Daily Caller. And a well-known national disease expert, Dr. Amesh Dadalja, that's what he told the Daily Caller. Okay? That's 2022. When's that? 2 years? Well, they say air travel not projected to recover until 2024. That's USA Today. So if you don't have air travel to 2024, you don't have a vaccine, and you can't get back to normal till at least 2022, how's the economy going to handle this? Utah Governor Gary Herbert, for example, I gave him praise early on because he was backing away from mandates. And good on him when he was, but now he's mandating in schools everywhere to wear masks. And Utah Governor Gary Herbert on mask, quote, mandate, numbers will dictate stronger measures or measures. Shame on you, Governor Herbert. The head of China's Center for Disease Control and Prevention, I guess, claims to take experimental vaccine. Would you take the experimental vaccine? I wouldn't. Why don't we try it on Bill Gates? China claims nationwide coronavirus surge. Whoa, right? House Minority Leader McCarthy accidentally calls Representative Louie Gohmert, listen, Congressman COVID. What the heck's going on around here? It's all political theater, ladies and gentlemen. The real issues aren't even being dealt with in America. But we're talking about them on your radio, I'll tell you that.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
All right, CNN in the mix, talking about the coronavirus. CNN's Berman to Navarro, congressman, right? Don't say China virus on this show. All right, whatever happened to freedom of speech, I don't know. See, I don't believe there's proof that the coronavirus is airborne. And I also don't believe that's scientific proof. Let's be clear. The scientists think they know, but they don't have any evidence, not scientific fact evidence. So we're going on a hunch, on a belief that they have, on circumstantial evidence at best. They even admit it as the case. Nevertheless, I don't know that we know that coronavirus or the flu or any of these other things are airborne, first of all. Second of all, I'm not so sure that we know how deadly the virus is or whether it came from China or not. See, I don't think we ought to be blaming the Chinese when we don't have facts. First off, did it come from a Chinese lab? We don't know. Did it come from a, quote, Chinese meat market or whatever? I don't know. Did it come from the United States military? I don't know. Where did it come from? I don't know. Was it man-made? Was it man-engineered or manipulated? So maybe naturally occurring, but yet weaponized by man in a lab? See, we don't know these things. And nobody's asking these direct, poignant questions either. Why not? I don't know. But they should be, shouldn't they? Okay. Anyway, there you have that. We talked about a bakery refusing to sell a lady bread. I guess she only had cash was the problem. And of course, don't you know, if you have cash, the problem is, well, by golly, you might touch it and give everybody the corona. You know, so you got to go to all digital currency. See how every element of this coronavirus is being exploited to advance the tyrannical nature of government? Oh, now you can't have cash because you might touch it and get sick. Got to have government-controlled digital currency now, right? Judge blocks President Trump's, quote, public charge rule again. We're talking about giving illegals handouts. When they come here, should we just be giving them handouts left and right? Trump says no. Others say absolutely. What kind of an evil, bigoted racist are you? And the debate rages on, full of misleading truths and half-truths and I digress. Mick Jagger with the Rolling Stones, Steven Tyler with Aerosmith, Elton John and others among 50 rockers demanding politicians stop playing their tunes at their events. It's a weird story. Ashley Judd wins appeal in, quote, Harvey Weinstein's sexual harassment case. Wow. Tyler Perry on defunding the police. He says, I think we need more police. And I don't think we need more police. I don't know if we need less or not. I think it depends on the area. But I know this. We need less funding. We need less military hardware. We need more de-escalation training. We need more county sheriff elected servants of the people rather than appointed police chiefs. No doubt about all those things. Now, McConnell, as in, quote, Mitch, he says there's about 20 senators, 20 Senate Republicans think that we should not do another package. They're on the, what, fourth possible bailout? But, Mitch, I got news for you, buddy. if we're not going to have society come back according to your lead physician, Mr. Fauci, then what are you going to do if society can't come back, if air travel can't come back? If we can't get back to, quote, new normal until the vaccine's out, which is at least a year or so away, maybe 2 years, how are people going to pay their bills, Mitch? Now, I know you're in your kind of plush house and your Ivy League tower and everything else, and you've got plenty of money, and you can vote yourself raises and everything. I get all that. But how do you expect the average Joe to make it, Mitch? President Trump floats idea of delaying the presidential election. They say there's big-time congressional pushback on that. Donald Trump says mail vote fraud will be the issue, will be the problem. Is he right? I think he's right, but I don't think that delaying the election is the answer either. The problem is we're waiting too long to really bring real solutions to the table. What we should do is move back to local precinct ballot, paper ballot discussions. Local precinct paper ballot discussions. And then you could count the paper ballots in a transparent way where vote watchers could keep track of the tallies as well. You could do that on election night. But with the way they're doing it, they're creating delay in elections to where, you know what, you can't trust the custody of the ballots all the way through the mail system. It was never designed with security in mind, with vote protection in mind, okay? So you're what they're doing is moving more and more and more and more to these systems that leave everything to chance, leave everything to fraud, leave everything to manipulation, leave everything to accidents and mistakes and confusion, okay? It's all on purpose. We could go back to paper ballots tomorrow like we used to. We could literally count every ballot in the precinct. The precinct could double, triple the numbers. They could have affidavits for those who were the vote counters that they did everything they could to make sure that it was as transparent and as clear and as honest and accurate as possible. Vote watchers could swear their affidavits out as well on both sides of the aisle. And you could literally turn in numbers by precinct backed by affidavit that would literally confirm the validity of the vote. It could be easily done. It could be done same night. Okay, look, we voted for what in America? 200 years before we started having these, quote, digital systems that now leave hanging chads on up to modern day mail vote fraud stuff. And we act like we can't get a handle on it. How do they do it for 200 years? Well, the answer is, Sam, they had a lot smaller population then. You're right. But look, even large populations, if broken into small precincts, could count, could be transparent with paper ballots and proof, right? Then you wouldn't need recounts. If you had vote counters swearing under penalty of perjury, and you had vote watchers that swore under penalty of perjury, that night, hey, if there's a dispute, you recount that precinct right on the spot. You don't wait until later and, oh, there's a margin of something, and if the margin's big enough, you can demand a recount. If the margin's small enough, you can't. And okay, you could vote by precinct, by tiny group, and you could count the numbers, and you could transparently do it by paper ballots, and you could literally swear to the numbers, have multiple people swear that it's accurate. You know what, sir? You don't think our 200 votes are accurate? Let's count them again. Is everyone satisfied that they're correct? Let's now write our sworn affidavits out, have a notary sign them, turn it in with the real numbers in the ballots. Okay, you got backup proof. You got these sworn testimony by all these vote watchers and vote counters. You got paper ballots for backup. Okay, they're lying to you and they want you to believe this is something that cannot be solved or dealt with fairly easy. It's just not true. All right, we talked about a teacher strike is possible. Says the American Federation of Teachers, look, in the pandemic, they don't want to go back to school. And so they're going to strike. I say let all the government school teachers strike. And let everybody shut down government school entirely. After all, it is the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. Shut that sucker down. Go to private and homeschooling yesterday. And defund all the government schools as well. The United States sees record economic downturn. You wonder why, huh? Government's shutting down everything. The U.S. economy, they say, shrank at a record-breaking 33% last quarter alone. That number is staggering. I don't know that we've ever had such economic turmoil. This is even worse than depression levels. It's not because people get money via the government. It just means the government has a bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger debt, creating an illusion of false prosperity. All we do is take another drink from the economic bottle of false prosperity and pretend we're okay. But eventually the hangover will occur. Eventually we will sober up. In less than 5 months, believe it or not, a stunning 54 million have sought unemployment aid for the first time. 54.1 million. We have never had that many people out of work. That's a third of the people out of work. And then what do they claim the unemployment level is, huh? Do they tell you it's like 33%? Wow. Very strange indeed, huh? All right. A lot of hard-hitting news the networks refused to use on your radio. That's a recap of yesterday's broadcast. So I literally was able to cover the genius of America in the first little bit of the broadcast, this first hour. Now a breakdown of all the stories we covered yesterday, a summary and a recap and a little bit of insights into the details. Next hour, we're going to talk clearly about just as the deep state wanted. Poor Steve Stockman is infected with COVID-19. And we're going to compare Steve Stockman to another congressman. Why did they throw the book at Steve but be so soft on the other congressman? I'm talking about the House Ethics Committee ordered Arizona Representative David Schweiker to pay a $50,000 fine after it found that he broke ethics rules, et cetera, et cetera. We'll go into it. But all I'm telling you is that they threw the book at Steve. David, no problem. What's the difference? Answer, what you're willing to take on. Steve Stockman was willing to take on the IRS, Hillary Clinton, and more. And I submit David Schweiker hasn't taken on anything, really. So we got to really dig into this stuff and find out. But our prayers are with poor Steve. Will he make it now that he's infected with corona? Will the diabetic with all kinds of other health issues, underlying health conditions, will he make it? I pray the answer is yes. But he's still in prison, and now he's been given the coronavirus. Oh, my prayers are with Patty. What a horrible situation. What do we do about it? Ladies and gentlemen, listen, do you like hard-hitting talk radio like this? Bill Clinton hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein. His spokespeople are denying it. Bill's completely quiet, but you know what? Evidence is coming out via court documents and sworn testimony. Bill Clinton involved with Jeffrey Epstein and the Lolita sex plane and the, what's that sex island they were on? Jeffrey has his own island, right? What was that thing called? The little something, St. James, St. Little James or something like that island? Anyway, I'll have that handy for next hour to discuss in detail. But Bill Clinton went to Jeffrey Epstein's island with young girls. A witness now says in an unsealed court documents. Yeah, senators, governors, princes, all at Epstein's personal island. That's according to Virginia, I don't know how to say her last name, Juford. Yeah. Flight logs show that Bill Clinton took at least 26 trips aboard Epstein's Lolita Express. Yeah, Little St. James, the Caribbean island of Jeffrey Epstein. Bill Clinton was there 26 times, according to Fox, 5 times without his security detail. Well-known sex island, well-known sex plane. Yeah, that's Bill Clinton. Are we going to... Where's the Me Too movement when you need them, huh? All right, hard-hitting talk next hour as well. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. I'm Sam Bushman. Hopefully it's educational and, I don't know, somewhat entertaining. Donate today if you like what you hear. Go to lovingliberty.net. Donate liberally. That's the only time we believe in liberalism, when it's your donations. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media and tell the tale of truth. I'm Sam Bushman. I declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.